Welcome to Magnificent Promises with Allison Schuster. Join us today as we learn to study the Bible together using the inductive study method. Now, here is Allison with our current study in 2 Peter.
I believe in the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. I believe that he came to earth, born of a virgin, that he lived a sinless life, that he died on a cross, and on the third day he was resurrected, made live again through the power of God. And I believe that he ascended to heaven. And I believe that he's coming again for his church, and then to judge the world of sin, the world for sin and unrighteousness. Hi there, it's Magnificent Promises from the Bible. Again, I'm Allison Schuster. So glad that you're with me. I want to share something very important that I believe. I wouldn't be doing this podcast if I didn't believe this. I believe that God's Word is inspired. In other words, it's God-breathed. He used men to breathe His Word. I believe it's infallible. I believe it's inerrant. There are no errors in God's Word. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, because I want to pick up in verse 19 where we left off. Today, our inductive study principle we'll be talking about are looking for contrasts. Now, you know what a contrast is. A contrast will be two different things. For instance, night and day, light and dark. And how do I mark contrasts? When I see one in my Bible, I draw a line under the whole phrase, and I put a slash between light and dark. Let's say that's an example. Or if you don't like to do that, you can also just put out in the margin of your Bible, light versus dark. Now, I do have an inductive study Bible put out by Precept Ministries. You can get one at precept.org. The reason I love my inductive study Bible is because it doesn't give me commentary on what God's Word says. It causes me to have to study God's Word for myself. And I just love my inductive study Bible. The text is a little bigger, so I can mark my words. I can do these contrasts. I can make notes because the margins are wide. So if you really want to study inductively and in more in depth, if you're really getting into this inductive study method, I would encourage you to go over to precept.org and get one of those inductive study Bibles. I believe they have it in the New American Standard Version and also in the English Standard Version now, for those of you who like that. And so I would just encourage you to do that. But let's jump right in, and we're going to look for a contrast today. I'm going to go back to chapter 1, verse 19, because if you remember, as we've been studying, I've been teaching you that context is very, very important when you study the Bible. It's vital. And so we don't want to just jump into chapter 2, and you're going to see that we have a contrast right smack in the first verse of chapter 2. And in order to understand what's contrasted, we're going to need to go back to chapter 1. Listen with me, and I began by saying, I believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Chapter 1, verse 19. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention. Remember who's writing? It's Peter. And he's writing to a group of believers. He's writing, his purpose is to remind them of the commandments of God, of what the apostles had spoken beforehand. And so he's telling them that we have the prophetic word, which is the Bible, more sure. We talked about that in our last lesson, so you can go back and listen to lesson 5. He says, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. But, now, that word but a lot of times signifies a contrast. Not always. How are you going to understand that? Because the context is going to help you. But he says, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Remember, we talked about that blowing of the pencil, of how God used men to write his word, but it was inspired, it was God-breathed. Now let me read. We're just going to cover the first 3 verses here in chapter 2. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be maligned. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. I'm going to stop there for today. Did you notice what verse 1 starts out with? It starts out with the word, but. Now, if you're studying along with me, by the way, you can download the Podomatic, P-O-D-O-M-A-T-I-C, app in the App Store if you have an iPhone or some other kind of a smartphone. And then you can have access to the podcast in your car, wherever you might take, you know, while you're jogging. But if you're sitting at home and you've got the Word of God open before you, you can study along with me. You can do these principles as we do them so that when you go to study another book of the Bible, you can have something to refer to. So it starts out, but false prophets also arose among the people. Well, we have to understand why did he start with a but? Well, let's go back to the context of chapter 1. When he says, no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. Or that could be translated of one's explanation, of one's exposition. In other words, I can't make it say what I want it to say. Do you know there are many today, and as you're going to see in the next 3 verses, many today taking the Scriptures and making it say what they want it to say. And unfortunately, many a believer is drawn in by that. They're fearful of the word theology. They're fearful of just saying that God's word is enough without having to have more revelation. But let's see what Peter said. Remember, Peter's at the end of his life. You know, study 2 Timothy and you see that Paul is at the end of his life and you see what is important to his heart. And you don't see in either case what is important to the hearts of these apostles. It's not that they experience something new, but that they believe what they've been told before by the Old Testament, by the prophets, by what God was doing through them, the apostles, to write the New Testament. So we see in verse 21, back in chapter 1, that Peter's telling him no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Ah, we see a contrast there. Let me show you. When he says, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Here's what I have in my Bible. I have it underlined. No prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Now I have a whole underline there. But my slash I have right before, and I kind of make it a sideways slash. You can make it a straight slash, however you like. But I have a sideways slash because here's the contrast. Can you see it? Do you just look at it for a minute. It's talking about human will, and it's talking about men moved by the Holy Spirit. There's a difference there. There's a contrast there. The apostles didn't even just sit down and say, I think I'm going to write about this. And I hope over 2,000 years later, people will listen to it and think, hey, I had a good opinion. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. So there's a contrast there. But I also want you to see the contrast. There's another contrast that carries into chapter 2. We have men moved by the Holy Spirit who spoke from God. If you look at verses 19 through 21, and on the heels of that, we have but false prophets also arose among the people. What is our contrast? It's between men moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to take note, this next chapter is talking about, I'm going to let you see for yourself, but false prophets. So Peter in the first century is saying already we have false prophets that were entering, and I want you to look where. Now, I don't remember if I've mentioned the five W's and an H, but when you're reading God's word, always ask these questions. Who speaking, or who is this talking about? What, when, where is it happening? Why and how? Now, this is going to answer a where question. But false prophets also arose among the people. I have that circled. Just as there will also be false teachers, where? Among you. So we have Peter talking about men moved by the Holy Spirit, that no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. And may I just give you a warning here. There are those today who are saying they have new prophecies from God. They're saying God's word is not enough. There are more prophecies. My friend, God's word is enough. God's word has been proven, tried and true over the years. Recently, a dear friend of mine, Tammy, and I have chatted, and we've heard this phrase over and over again from various people that don't believe the Bible is true. They'll say, but when the Emperor Constantine came to rule, he changed everything. That's not true, my friends. This was written in the first century. Constantine didn't come about, and his rule was in the he ruled in the 300s AD. So we'll have to do a little bit more study to understand that. But that is not true. Peter's saying what he's writing is from the Lord. So false prophets also arose among the people. Can I tell you that today that in our churches, false prophets and false teachers are also among us. If they were among them in the early stages of God growing in the church, just imagine they are now. How are you not going to be fooled? How are you not going to be caught up in what so much experience people today want to? And now I love the book Experiencing God. So don't get me wrong, the word experience is not a bad thing. But it can be bad when it takes scripture out of context. And so be careful of those ministers, those churches that are experience-based as opposed to Bible-centered. Because he tells us that false prophets arose among the people. Just as, now he's referring back to Israel, and we're gonna see that as we go on. But he also says there will also be false teachers among you. So Peter tells us it's going to happen. Now listen what they do. They will secretly introduce destructive. Now, he calls this heresies. That's not me saying that. That's him. If these prophets are coming up amongst the people, if these false teachers are coming up from amongst believers, probably some of what they're saying sounds awful good. But he says that the heresies that they will bring are destructive. The podcast by saying, I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. They'll deny the master who bought them. They'll bring swift destruction upon who? It says themselves. Now, I'm marking as a key word every word throughout here that says destruction or destroy. And I mark that throughout my Bible. I just put a big red X. The destruction that's going to come upon themselves is swift. Many will follow their sensuality, their licentiousness. Licentiousness pretty much means without law. They do what they want to do. And what's scary is it's, and he's warning them that many amongst these believers will follow their sensuality. And because of them, now you always have to, say, who's the them? Well, context tells us the false teachers. Because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. It will be slandered. Why am I doing these podcasts? Because studying God's word inductively changed my life 25 years ago. If you go to my blog at magnificentpromises.com, you can read about the five magnificent promises that changed my life forever. And it's slowing down. And you know what? It's teaching me the truth. I don't want to malign the way of truth. That's why I'm teaching you how to study. Not so you can just tune in and listen to what I'm saying this says. But I'm trying to show you step by step so that you can understand for yourself. And if I've forgotten to share this, always begin with prayer. I pray before I podcast this. And remember that the Holy Spirit, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, if he's freed you from your sins, you now have the Holy Spirit who dwells within you to reveal truth to you from the Bible. Remember what I'm saying, from the Bible. Always begin your Bible study, your Bible reading with prayer, asking God to open the eyes of your heart and to help you apply it to yourself. So he says, because of these false teachers, the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, you know, you learn something about them again. In their greed, they will exploit you. Now, through this chapter, you might want to just color the false teachers a certain way, because that's a key, their key here in this particular chapter. It says they're greedy, right? They desire to exploit you, really meaning to cheat you. And they're going to do it, it says, with false words, fabricated words. Now you say, certainly no one within the church is going to do that. The church is a safe place. Not all churches are safe places. My friend, I encourage you to know God's word for yourself and ask God to lead you to a church that speaks the truth, that isn't afraid to call sin, sin, and isn't afraid to share the love of God and the remedy for your sin and my sin. So it says these teachers among them are greedy, they're cheaters, and they speak falsely. Now, as we move into the rest of the chapter, we're going to look at the remainder of verse 3, and we're going to call it a day. I know you're probably glad Allison's doing a little bit of a short one this time. But please go through the rest of the chapter. And guess what? There are lots of contrasts that you can find and use that skill right now. Let me finish up for today. It says, "This their judgment from long ago is not idle." Now, God just told us something. that the false teachers will be judged. Teachers, be careful what you teach. And it says, and their destruction is not asleep. They're going to be judged, and they're going to be, there's that word, destroyed. Handling the word of God any way you want to, flippantly, making it into what you want it to say, is a very serious business, my friends. Let me again encourage you, continue to read. And we have these worksheets, which is just, I just have the text of 2 Peter, a PDF you can download at magnificentpromises.com. You can go over there, you can download it, you can print it out if you're not ready to mark in your Bible, and you can be doing these contrasts and these keywords and the variety of things I'm teaching you through these podcasts. My friend, beware of the false teachers. Listen carefully even to those who teach among you. God bless you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. Allison counts it a privilege to spend time in God's Word with you. For more podcasts, blog posts, and Bible study resources, visit magnificentpromises.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Again, thank you for listening. God bless you.